book of Philippians is in the New Testament, and it's kind of one of the later books written in the Bible. It was written after the time of Jesus, after Jesus had come and died on the cross, and Jesus rose again. It's a book from the early days of the church, and we're looking here at Philippians chapter 3 this morning. Sometimes we don't know how valuable something really is, like lights. Lights are really helpful to have sometimes, especially when you're in the dark. But sometimes we don't realize how valuable some things are around us. And you might know the experience of like maybe going to your grandparents' house and you're playing a game or just hanging out and you start to mess with some of the old things in your grandparents' house. There's like an old plate or an old picture on the wall. And you don't really think that much of them until your grandparents stop you and someone lets you know that that thing that you were just throwing a football right near is actually really valuable. It's an antique. It's something that needs to be treated as valuable. And we can think of lots of things like that. There's times when we don't realize how valuable the things around us are. There's one book that I came across, and he brings up the story that I think is really good. It's a story about this show on TV called Antiques Roadshow. Has anyone seen that before? Probably not. It's probably the kind of show your grandparents watch, but maybe you've seen it before, and really it's just a show about how people don't realize how valuable some of the things around them are. This show comes, and they invite people to bring old things from their house, old antiques, and these people assess the value of it, and they let the people, the owners, know if it is valuable or not, and how valuable it might actually be. And there's lots of stories from this show, Antiques Roadshow, of people bringing in items that they didn't think were worth anything, and they find out that they're worth a whole bunch. They're really valuable, and those things were with them the whole time, even though they didn't realize it. One example is the story of an older man who brought into the Antiques Roadshow a old blanket that his grandma had given him. And he didn't think much of it. He put it over the back of a chair, and it was kind of this old, dirty blanket. He knew it was probably historic, maybe, but never really gave any thought to it until one day he had the opportunity to bring it in. And the person that assessed it told him one of the most shocking and surprising things that he could have imagined. That blanket that he'd always figured was old and worthless, that he just hung over the back of his chair, was actually an extremely rare and an extremely historic blanket that was worth over $2 million. It was a blanket that was 150 years old. And the whole time, this man had no idea. He even would have thought it wouldn't have been a big deal if that blanket was thrown away. But the whole time, right there, right in his house, was a treasure worth millions of dollars. And there's other examples of that, but I think that's a good example of the fact that sometimes we don't realize how valuable the things around us are. I'm guessing you probably don't have a $2 million blanket at your house. Maybe you do. That'd be cool. But there is a chance that you are missing out on some valuable things around you, right in front of you the whole time. The Bible is a great example of that. The Bible is a treasure. It's God's word. And sometimes even here at this church, we just get familiar with the fact that we have God's word with us. Psalm 119 says that the Bible it's better and more precious than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Psalm 119 also tells us that understanding the Bible is like finding great treasure. Psalm 19:10 says that the Bible is more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. God's word, this truth that we have here, the Bible, is an incredible treasure that sometimes people don't know about or don't realize is so valuable for their life. And even more, Jesus himself is really the greatest treasure that the Bible shows us and is a great, really the greatest of all treasures that we need to make sure we don't miss out on. We need to know about the treasure of knowing God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what we find here in Philippians chapter 3, and what I want to show you this morning in this chapter, that we don't want to go through life and even to go one more day without knowing how valuable knowing Jesus is, about how valuable the most important relationship you could ever know is, a relationship that's possible and that's available to anyone, to any one of us, but that some people don't realize is so valuable. We don't want to go on without knowing how precious and how important and how valuable Jesus himself is. And knowing Jesus as our Savior and following Jesus as our Lord. To not know Jesus is to be missing out on, to not be realizing the greatest treasure that there is in the world. And that's how the author of this letter here in Philippians thought about it. Paul knew that knowing Jesus, knowing the truth about him, his Lord Jesus, was the most important thing in life. Knowing Jesus is better and more essential and more precious and more valuable than anything else out there. Paul knew knowing Jesus is a treasure that we need to know about, that we need to know about. And a big idea we'll see here in Philippians 3 is that nothing compares to knowing Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. That's what Paul wanted to make sure that we are reminded of and know about when we study this part of the Bible, that nothing compares to knowing Jesus for ourselves as our Savior and our Lord. Let's read in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. It says, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning, and we thank you that you love us and that you have made who you are clear to us, even here in these verses this morning. And we ask that you would help us to see and know you through these verses. We pray this in Christ's name, amen. I'm sure you know about how some like companies have a motto that can kind of define who they are. When you hear the motto, "just do it," you think of what? Nike, right? And there's lots of those. Apple's old one is "think different." McDonald's is "I'm loving it." Subway is "eat fresh," which does not sound very fresh to me. But well, here these verses are kind of like a motto for us. They're a motto that Paul gives for his life, a motto that defines him well, and really that can define any Christian, and that should define any Christian. If you are a believer in Jesus, these verses should describe you. Somebody who is all about Jesus and sees Jesus as so important, as ultimately valuable, as more valuable than anything else you can imagine. And just to see this in our verses, let's answer three questions this morning. I want to ask and answer three questions to show us what Paul is talking about here and to show us that he's saying nothing compares to knowing Jesus. The first question we could ask is, who did Paul think of as valuable beyond compare? Who did Paul think of as valuable beyond compare? And the answer to this one is not tricky. I've already said it, and it's not hard to find if we look at these verses here in verses 7 and 8. Verse 7, Paul says, "Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ." Who did Paul think of as valuable beyond compare? It was Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Paul was once somebody who was very different. Before knowing Jesus as his Savior, Paul had grown up in a very religious family with a really religious Jewish background. And earlier here in chapter 3, verse 5 tells us that Paul was from the nation of Israel, and he was from the tribe of Benjamin, and so he was very proud that he had been born into this right family and done all of the right things and lived among the right kind of people. He had a really good religious resume. Now, those things, most of those things that he had been defined by, that were his motto before he knew Jesus, are not all bad things. But we know that Paul had grown up relying on those things that he talks about in verse 3 through 6 there. He had grown up relying on those things, on that resume, in order to have a right relationship with God. Paul relied on his own achievements and his background in order to find happiness and to try to find joy and to fix the guilt of his sin and in order to have a good standing before God in heaven. But then here in verse 7 in our passage, we see that something dramatic, something amazing has happened in Paul's life. Paul was transformed. One day he was on a road trip. He was going to Damascus, and he was a persecutor of Christians trying to stop Christianity and Christians from spreading their message about Jesus, until all of a sudden, Jesus interrupted his life and saved him. And Paul was now a Christian himself. Paul was saved by Jesus. And he became what the Bible calls a new creation. He was a new man, changed by Jesus. The book of Acts tells us this was so shocking to the people around him that some Christians found it hard to believe that Jesus would save a guy like Paul. But that's exactly what God did. God loves to do that. God loves to take people even today in just the same way and take unlikely, lost, sinful people, even people who maybe looked religious but were lost in their sins. And God loves to rescue and forgive people like that and make them his own. He loves to make new creations. And Paul was one of those people who had once hated Jesus, and now he was saved by Jesus. That's what he's talking about in verse 7, this change that happened in his life. And now he saw everything differently. He'd come to understand and think of the value of knowing Jesus, of knowing Christ, as better than anything else. He's telling us there in verse 7 and verse 8, knowing Jesus is valuable to me beyond compare to any of that old stuff that I used to rely on in order to have a right relationship with God. Look at verse 8. He says, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Paul had come to know Jesus, and that changed everything. I like how Paul says there in verse 8 that everything else for him, he thinks of as like rubbish. That means trying to earn our own place, a good relationship with God, to have a right standing before God. The things that Paul used to care about, according to Paul now, are like rubbish when compared to knowing Jesus and knowing God through knowing Jesus. That word rubbish is just another way to say like trash, gross stuff that's fit for the garbage can. And in some translations, it can even mean like manure, like the grossest kind of animal manure. In the King James Bible, it calls it dung. Paul considered all that he once cared about as dung, as animal manure. I can remember growing up, and there was a family that my family knew, and they lived on a pig farm. And you could go and visit this family, and the problem was that the smell of the pig manure was so strong that you could smell their house before you could even see it. You could smell their farm from like a really far away place. You could smell the nastiness so far away. And Paul's kind of talking about that kind of rubbish, that kind of stuff that's no longer valuable to him. That's not even just no longer valuable, but that's gross compared to how amazing knowing Jesus is. Because Paul now knew Jesus, who Jesus is, and what Jesus had done, Paul says, nothing. All I used to care about, none of that compares to how amazing it is to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. None of that compares to knowing Jesus closely as my Lord, he says there, the Lord of my life. Nothing passes in importance or value to this relationship with Jesus. I think it's good to stop and think about Paul and about so many people, Christians through all of history, even Christians today, who can say and who can tell you with all of their heart that knowing Jesus really is amazing. There's nothing like knowing him as our Savior and as our Lord. And I wouldn't give anything up to know Jesus. I want Jesus more than anything. Jesus is the most important thing in my life. Some of you have found this out in your own life. You've come to understand that knowing Jesus and having him as your Savior and your Lord is better than anything. There's nothing that could compare to knowing the good news about Jesus as my Savior. All of my old life without him is nothing compared to the joy of knowing him. And that's what Paul is saying here. And that's the truth that we need to make sure we don't miss here. But then there's another question to answer. Number two, we could ask, why did Paul find Jesus so valuable? Why did Paul find Jesus so valuable? We could never ask or answer all of the question or all of that question fully or understand all of the reasons that Paul loved Jesus so much. But this verse here in verse 9 gives us a good start, a good idea of why this was the truth for Paul. Why did Paul find Jesus so valuable? Why did he love him so much and think of him as so much greater than all that he used to care so much about in his religious childhood? It was because knowing Jesus and gaining Jesus, we see here in verse 9, is like being found in him. Verse 9 says, being found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from me keeping the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. If you want a good verse to help you know who Jesus is, to know the gospel, to know about the good news of Jesus, Philippians 3:9 is a great verse to know and to memorize and to write down. Paul's talking here about what happened when he first came to know Jesus and why Jesus was so valuable to him. Paul, like every other person who had lived, had one great problem of being in sin. He was, like everyone, a sinner that had fallen short of the glory of God, and the Bible tells us that the penalty for our sin is death. Death and God's judgment forever because of our sin. Romans 6:23, the wages, the penalty for our sin is death. And where Paul had once tried to earn his own place with God through keeping God's law, through establishing his own righteousness by doing all of these things and trying to earn himself a place, Paul now found the truth about Jesus. He found that Jesus lived a perfect life that no one else has. He found out that Jesus died for sinners and that Jesus bore the penalty for our sins in himself on the cross. He found out that Jesus gave his record of perfect righteousness to sinners who believe in him. And that's not because any of us deserve it. That's the beauty of the good news, that because of God's kindness towards sinners, because of his grace towards people who deserve punishment, he sent his son Jesus in their place. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty you could become rich. Because Jesus died, Paul could be forgiven, Paul could be saved because of Jesus' love for him and Jesus' perfect righteousness. How could he be saved? How could anyone be saved and have a right relationship with God? It's not through our own works. It's not through the things we haven't done wrong, or through trying to do more good things, or trying to be more religious, or trying to come to church, or trying to learn more about the Bible, or just trying to be better at praying. Our salvation, our right relationship with God can only come through what Jesus did on the cross. Through faith in Jesus, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That's why Paul began to see Jesus as better than anything else that he once cared about. And that was Paul's great story, that he knew Jesus who was the Savior for sinners. And it's the story of every true Christian, that Jesus is the Savior of sinners. Paul didn't rely on some report card of all the things that he had done well anymore. He relied on Jesus' perfect record, Jesus' perfect report card that no one else has. Jesus' perfect record is how he could have acceptance with God. And that's a good place to ask ourselves here if we know Jesus in that way. If we know Jesus like Paul talks about him here in Philippians 3:9, to be found in Jesus one day when you meet God, to be saved by Jesus instead of resting on your own works and on the good things you do or on not being as bad as other people, but instead by trusting in Jesus as your Savior. We each need to ask, do I understand and do I know how valuable and important knowing Jesus is? and trusting in him and what he did for me on the cross. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no other name. No other name is given under heaven by which we can be saved, by which we need to be saved. We need to know Jesus like Paul did, to know him as so valuable because he is the savior of sinners who trust in him. But there's one last question that we could ask and for us to answer here, and it's number 3. What was Paul's focus now that he knew Jesus? Verses 10 and 11 answer this for us. Verse 10, Paul says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like Jesus in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. We'll start to see more of this next time in the verses after this. But here we start to see what Paul's life was now like now that he had come to know Jesus by believing in him in the gospel. How was Paul's life now changed? And what was Paul's focus now? Well, he starts to talk about his life as a Christian now like a race. Paul, as a Christian, was now running forward, pressing on, and he was making his way towards a goal. You might have some really good goals right now in your life. Maybe it's just to get better at a sport or to get better at playing an instrument or a goal to, you know, make sure your little brother in that video game isn't as good as you and that you keep beating him. We all have some good goals, but here was Paul's highest goal. And it's a goal worth following if you're a Christian, whoever you are. Paul's goal was now to know Jesus more and more. This was so important for Paul that he could know Jesus, that he would be able to know Jesus, not just in passing, not just to say like, I'll check off the I'm a Christian box, but then to keep on living his life the same way. No, Paul's life was changed by Jesus, and he wanted to live his life differently, getting to know Jesus more and more and more, more deeply and more personally. He wanted more of Jesus' power in his life. He talks about power there in verse 10. He wanted more of Jesus' nearness, his fellowship with Jesus in his life. And he was focused on the future, on one day where there would be a resurrection, where there would be eternal life, where every Christian will one day have the knowledge of Jesus that's perfect forever and ever. Paul was focused on Jesus, to know Jesus more and more. The Jesus he had already come to know, he wanted to know him better. That's such a good prayer for you if you already know Jesus this morning. If you know that he really is more valuable than anything else, if you really know that Jesus is so worthy because he is your Savior and your Lord, it's encouraging that Paul knew he hadn't arrived yet, that he wanted to know Jesus more and more. If you're a believer in Jesus, that's a good thing for you to pray today, that Jesus, I want to know you more. I'm not perfect yet. I haven't arrived yet. I want to know more of your power in my life, more of your presence. I want to understand you and know you better. That was the prayer of Paul, and that's the prayer of Christians. And it's encouraging, I think, for Christians to say that. I haven't arrived yet. I don't understand and know Jesus fully yet, but one day I will. And I look forward to that, and I want to know him more and treasure him more. I'm running that race toward him. So who did Paul think of as valuable beyond compare? He says it's Jesus. Why did Paul find Jesus so valuable? It's because Jesus is the Savior of sinners who trust in him. And what was Paul's focus now that he knew Jesus? It was that he could know Jesus more and more. I wonder if you know the value of knowing Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. This morning, do you know Jesus? Are you trusting in him? Do you know about the treasure of knowing him and being saved by him and having the hope of being with him forever one day? Paul is a man who tells us, who gives us a testimony and says, there's nothing that compares with Jesus. God is telling us here, nothing compares with knowing Christ as our Savior. Don't let yourself ignore this treasure. Don't let yourself miss him as your Savior. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are a Savior of sinners. Lord, I pray that we would all know you and that we would grow in our knowledge of you more deeply. I pray that the gospel would be clear to every student in this room, that they would trust in you, Jesus, as their Savior, and that they would follow you as their Lord. Thank you for the gospel. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.